Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
My dreamer come one day, one day.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So I'm about to say something that's half prediction, half proclamation. You know how Jay-Z loves to sing about his hometown, New York, and how much he loves it? Yeah. Well, Boston's got something just as good. His name is Mouthy.
The heart of New England, look no further. Who is that? Mighty Mouthy, who else do you think? Bang, bang, Roxbury, what more can I say?
Mouthy was raised in Roxbury, got kicked out of a prep school in Cambridge, graduated from a boarding school in New Hampshire, and now, at just 21 years old, Mouthy has the fastest-growing fan base of any urban artist in New England. Mouthy's got a complicated, compelling story to tell through his music, and he does so with bravado and an unabashed love for Boston. You're listening to One Day, a track off Humble Season, Mouthy's newest album.
I grew up in Orchard Park, Roxbury, where Bobby Brown and New Edition grew up. And it's always just had the reputation since the 80s to be a very, very rough part of town. So when I was 13 growing up in Boston, we were like, you can never have your back to the street. That was a rule. I was just a kid, and I was a city kid trying to figure it out, going to public school and just seeing everything coming at me like at a very, very rapid pace. Like, I wouldn't want my 13-year-old to see what I saw.
Like what?
When I was 13. I don't want to sort of reinforce stereotypes, okay. You know what I mean? But it was just everything. Everything in an urban community that is struggling due to poverty, like, would have. I mean, our fathers weren't really around. Drugs were a huge issue. Like, I grew up next to a crack house, like, two doors down. So you have to deal with that. And then there's just the violence. Because, you know, the culture in Roxbury, it's like, you weren't cool unless you were down with a gang. Like, that's how it was.
Turn me up in the headphones. Make sure Dorchester, Mattapan, Roxbury can hear me.
It's weird because then when I traveled, because then I started doing music, it's fast forward mode. When I started doing music, it was like, and I would explain to people where I'm from, they would be like, oh, that's not the image of Boston we have.
Yeah, so these are people from outside the city.
Yeah. You know, people like, oh, I thought Boston was just all like white Irish guys and stuff. Because I sort of think about Ben Affleck. Like, I'm like, probably in Southie, but in Dorchester, Roxbury, Mattapan, I don't think you're going to find many people who aren't Latino or African American descent. It's like, so That was always interesting when I traveled.
Okay, so let's listen to a little bit of what you're talking about. This is like one of your most famous hits. This is Boston Lights. Let's listen.
I said I rap stalking. Okay, that's word to NASA. I step up on the scene. You know, lights, camera, action. Okay, here we go. You have now tuned into Mighty Mouthy, Boston's miracle. 617 engraved in my soul. Ain't that so spiritual? Right under the city. Like, you don't know, then forget it. I traveled all around the world, but Boston got my pivot. So I ride. I know they try to put you on, but they all lie. But I got pride. So until time is Massachusetts till I die.
So Mouthy, I hear your Boston pride in that song.
Yeah, I'm from the city. Like, I'm not from 10 minutes out. I'm not 15 minutes out. Like, I was born in the middle of the heart.
Well, let me ask you, because how important is it to you to be representing, you know, Mattapan, Dorchester, Roxbury, to people outside of Boston? Because I hear what you said earlier about, you know, a lot of people think Boston is maybe South Boston, maybe those you know, revolutionaries from the 18th century, but that, you know, like, it's not often that outside the city people talk about the neighborhoods where you come from.
Yeah, and that's sort of what really sparked the movement. That's why people like Boston Lights, because the way I talked about Boston Lights, the way I expressed, like, I was talking about Boston from an 18-year-old, 17-year-old's perspective who lived there his whole life. So when people heard it, they really resonated with it because it was a way that no one ever spoke of the city, but it was so, like, spot on. Like, it was the truth.
said forget about a hater. They ain't saying nothing. Got money all around me. We ain't balling on a budget. Girls trying to distract, but I'm staying on the subject. And I'm saying what I want, but I bet my city love it. I say, yeah, I rep Boston.
And my message was like, I'm trying to inspire hope for people from where I'm from. Because
yeah.
they need it. Because I grew up there. And I never had someone really to inspire hope. Especially from a music standpoint. Because we never really had no one who was on like that. Who had a buzz.
Who was from the neighborhood.
From the city.
So let me ask you, when did you first pick up a microphone? When did music enter your life? In so far as something you wanted to do?
It was interesting the way I found it. Because I found music like through a mishap. I was asked to like transfer schools junior year. So
but this wasn't just any school though, right? This was Buckingham Brown and Nichols. Cambridge.
Exactly. So basically, like I got lucky to get into the school because my grades nor like my record gave me the merit to enter this kind of school. Some people really, really helped out. Some people went out their way to get me into this institution. And here I was this kid like basically just coming from the hood most mornings and just being around a completely different environment than I was sleeping in. I was bringing tendencies from my home community where I lived into this community that's like, nah, like these. Because I would tell kids, like, yo, I'm from Roxbury. Like, it's crazy. Like, yesterday, there was a shootout right down the street from my crib. And then kids would look at me like, what? Like, what is this kid? And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So it got to the point.
Okay, I get it. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's like you're not going to relate to anything like.
But how did you handle that, though? I mean, you're basically describing going from like one planet to another
every
day.
And that's why I got kicked out, because I didn't handle it well. I handled it terribly. Like, I was awful. Like, I was just erratic. And I just wasn't ready for that situation at that point in my life, especially what was going on where I was living. I was literally in two worlds, and I couldn't change mindsets quick enough.
Hey, I got to ask you, though, before we get to sort of when you actually picked up the mic, you said you couldn't change mindsets fast enough, but was there any part of you that was like, why do I have to change mindsets?
Yeah, and that was the defiant part. That's what killed me. My intellect was there. I can't lie. Like, I can't use it as an excuse, because I did have the level of intellect to sort of handle that situation, which is something I deal in my own mind now. I just felt like, nah, I'm not changing for these kids. Like I had that attitude, which was the wrong attitude. That was the attitude that got me the exit ASAP. So during that period, I just had a lot of leeway time. I was in the hood, basically. I have basically a fourth of the year until summer comes. So I'm going through and I'm like, oh, man, I got to do something with my time. I said, I'm going to just write. So I just picked up a pen and I just started writing verses, and my life changed forever since then. Like, if I would have never gotten kicked out of BB9, I would have never became an artist at all.
And what'd you first start writing about? What was in those first songs?
Just anger, I remember. I was talking a lot of anger. I was just angry. That's one thing I remember about my high school. I was just angry, because I was just dealing with this anger of not understanding why I had to, like, spend energy to be different in order to fit in a certain community when other kids didn't. It was, it was the worst. It was the worst.
These are sunglasses for the eyes that never open. Lost in the world, so deep down I'm hoping I can keep it pure, no hiding the emotions. Road to success, but I think I'm losing focus. Racing through this life.
So here's what gets me. You had this experience at Buckingham Brown and Nichols. Like you said, expensive private school in Cambridge. They allowed you to exit. Or they encouraged you to exit, as you said.
Yeah.
And then you go to another school, like even further away, like even more on a different planet.
What happened was that, like, I have a lot of people to thank in my life. Honestly, looking back, if I would have got kicked out of BBNN and never went back to private school, if I would have went to public school, I would have been done. I would have been fried. But then someone said, nah, let's try to give you another chance. Let's apply here. Let's see what they say.
Like, and the Tilton School in New Hampshire.
Then I went to Tilton School.
A boarding school.
Yeah, I went to boarding school, which was a blessing, because that's where I met like a lot of my close friends right now, like who are basketball athletes, who are like some of the top basketball athletes in the nation. So it was weird, because then I had these kids from the city.
Yeah.
But here I was back in that same situation senior year. It was just a journey, and that sort of led to my music being so great, because I really saw so many different walks of life.
So, Malfi, this is so interesting to me, because, you know, in your story, I hear you, you know, you're describing about, like, you had to go between worlds a lot for a lot of your life. And, you know, we were talking about earlier about how you have this Boston pride. Is it fair to say it's sort of given you access or a way to better understand, you know, like you said, the people
definitely.
That you were going to school with who were living those completely different lives? Because you've even written songs sort of about that life.
Yeah, that's where it became a virtue. Like when I started making music, my music was different because I wasn't only talking about stuff that correlated to my own environment.
We've got an example here. It's from a short film that you created and you rap on called Miss Newton.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about Miss Newton.
Well, Miss Newton, it has three verses. I wrote three verses in pieces. I remember I was in Spanish class looking at this girl. I'm not going to say this girl's name, but I'm looking at this girl and I'm just coming up with this story. And it was weird. And the story happened to be about a girl who unfortunately had a drinking problem, had sex with this guy in public, and eventually committed suicide, which sounds very, very gruesome. But if you listen to the song, it's explained.
We've got a little bit of it. So let's listen.
So he got the address and rode by the house, having visions of his girlfriend acting out. He reaches destination and he parked outside. His girl nowhere in sight, so he took a look inside. When he first entered, noticed it was really loud. He saw kids cheering in a big circle crowd. So he went forward to try to get a view. The area was packed, he has to push his way through. Stole through all the screams and the yells and the shouts. There's people in his way. He had to push those people out. Finally got to the front just to see what it's about. Miss Newton was caught drunk having sex on the couch. Miss Newton don't fade away.
So everyone in this world has a problem. If I was in high school and like imagine this, I went back home and I hung over with my guys and I was like, yo, this kid in my class is going through such and such problem at home with his dad and his mom because they're not talking. The people in Roxbury would look at me and be like, bro, that's not a problem. Like, bad news for my neighborhood is like, such and such just got 7. They smoked them.
Now, do you think that's what people hear in your music? That you understand? You understand them regardless of where they're coming from?
That was the virtue of BBNN. Like, what I was hating, that was the virtue of it. The virtue was that I wasn't only talking about Roxbury and Roxbury issues. I was talking about topics that can reach a wide audience. Because you got to think about Boston. Like, yeah, I grew up in an urban area where it's black and Latinos mainly. But this region or this state isn't like that. It's a predominantly white market.
By far,
it just is what it is. So in order to have success from a rap standpoint, because this city hasn't always supported hip-hop, you have to give them something that they can gravitate to. Because if I'm telling you stuff about Roxbury all day long, they look outside their window, they're like, I can't really, like... That's where me going to all these schools in high school benefited me greatly because I can tap into many, into different worlds.
So you know how you said a little earlier that maybe this wasn't the greatest place to be a hip-hop artist for a while, but that's changing now. How do you see that changing?
Oh, it's huge because it's like hip-hop has gone very, very mainstream now to a point, and I feel like hip-hop dominates the urban, I think dominates the youth. Like before the Celtics come on, they're listening to hip-hop. And when these high school teams play basketball and the warm-up lines, they're listening to hip-hop. And it could have been different back then, but now it's like hip-hop is just it. Like, I'm on NPR.
Do you want to stay based here?
Yeah, this is my city. Yeah, I love Boston. I'm out here. And my whole family's out here. And so, you know, it's Roxbury to the death of me. I can't be away from the hood for too long. I got break in the hives. So I got to come back.
Do you feel like that's kind of part of your mission? Because I'm thinking, like, you know, for example, Jay-Z, he sings about New York a lot.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I love New York and I want to use my star power as Jay-Z to tell everybody why I love New York.
Yeah, because New York gave him the attitude that got him to where he's at.
Do you feel the same way about like your mission regarding Boston and your music?
Yeah, like 110%. Like I back down from nothing. My team, we don't back down from anything. We feel any situation that we're given, we're going to handle it and we're going to be the greatest at it. But that culture was ingrained due to my environment. That's a Boston mindset.
Well, Malfi, it has been just so terrific to talk to you. Thank you so
much
for coming.
I appreciate it.
I'm just hustling. Look me in my eyes. Said I serve a purpose. Girl, I pray you're right. I just hope it's worth it. Don't you feel the same? Don't you? Look me in my eyes.
Boston hip-hop artist Malfi. We first aired this conversation with him a year ago when his album Humble Season was released. Malfi's latest single, Oh Yeah, is out right now, and his new EP is set for release on April 9th.
But I do it 'cause my
family gonna need me.
Well, coming up, we chat with the reformed Malden Hacker, who is a consultant for season 2 of House of Cards. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.
One day, tell them I'm just hustling. Tell them I'm just hustling.